just by the service that I give.
Amen. Amen, church. Certainly, I count it an opportunity to stand before you. I'm thankful to Brother Brown for the extension of the invitation to speak a word from the Word of God. I'm grateful always to come to Richmond. I'm telling you, I've been doing this I don't know how many years, and it never grows old. It never grows old. It never grows old. And I'm so elated to know that we just keep on meeting one more time. God, as His wise providence, has allowed our lives to intersect over these years, and I'm going to tell you that I'm better for it. I am just better for it of having opportunity to come down here and to fellowship with the saints here at the Sandy Lane Church. Certainly, hats off to all of the sisters, Sister Brown, and all that you do, and all that folk have helped bring this thing about, this 40th annual Ladies' Day. That's no small task. That's no small task. You need three P's. You always need three P's. You need some planning. You need some planning. Sure enough, need some preparation. Nothing happens by accident. But above all, you need some participation. Those three things. And you just keep God ahead of it. And I tell you, great things will come from it. Now I'm asking, turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. And I'm asking that you pray for us. At the conclusion of this service, we will be heading back to Rochester. We've had some inclement weather. We haven't had a lot of snow, but we've had a lot of wind, a lot of damage, trees down, power lines down. We had about 160,000 people without power when we left, and the temperature is dropping. And they tell me that there is a winter storm advisory for tomorrow. And I said, well, we'll handle tomorrow. I just want to take care of today. Amen. Amen. Just let me get through today. And I know who holds tomorrow. Am I right about it? Yeah. So I know what the weatherman says, but I'm just going to put it in God's hand, and I know that He'll do all things well. Now, listen. I want you to also pray for us, because 2 weeks from now, we will be having our Ladies' Day in Rochester. Yeah, it won't be our 40th. It'll be our 36th. But guess where we learned it from? You got to start somewhere. Am I right about it? So we couldn't be 40 with you, but we can be 36, because it took us 4 years to learn some things. Am I right about it? But we pray much for us. Pray for Sister Walker. She's got a great team that assists her in these endeavors. And she comes down here to learn some things, too. Yeah. See, I'm going to tell anybody that's young, find somebody that's doing something positive, stick close to them, take a whole bunch of notes. Because, see, if they're successful in what they're doing, and you can just follow, don't try to invent. See, we got too many people out here trying to invent some stuff. If you could just perfect what we're doing as the Church of Christ, stop with this new thing. There's always got to be something new. Let me tell you something. God hadn't said anything new in a long time. He hasn't. He hasn't said anything new in a whole long bunch of years. All He wants us to do is perfect what He's already told us and stop looking for some new thing. I tell my wife all the time, I don't try to rack my brains. I just try to seek brothers who are doing something positive, see how I can work it to fit my people back home, and that's it. Because if God is working in this area, guess what? He's going to be able to work in some other areas. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, what I want you to do, you're in the book of James? Now, I want you to think about how you came here. How did you come here this afternoon? Because that's going to determine how much you get out of what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. I know this is Ladies' Day weekend, and I know that folk have fared sumptuously, and we've had some long times spending with each other. All right, but that does not diminish the word. It doesn't diminish the word. So how you came here, what you expected. Now, some folk may have come here watching the clock. Y'all don't have any clock watchers down here? Y'all don't have any clock watchers? Okay, I'm talking to some folk back upstate, all right? Because we got a bunch of clock watchers up there, all right? See, they come to church to see how soon they can get out. That's the only reason they came. How soon can I get out? Okay. Instead of saying, I'm coming to church to get something out of coming, So your disposition, how you walked in here, is going to have a whole, I tell you, big impact on how you leave here. All right? Now, practical Christianity. That's what James is going to talk about. Practical Christianity. I am a believer in principles. Principles. Those concepts that cannot, whatever we do, they cannot be broken. Principles. We know some of them, right? Principle of gravity. What goes up? Right? Now, I don't care how you try to get over that. It's still what? A principle that cannot be what? Can't be overcome. So when it comes down to us as being Christians, James is full of principles that are going to work everywhere. Anybody in here Catholic? Anybody Catholic? Anybody Catholic? I just thought I'd get your attention. You mentioned Catholic in the Church of Christ, people get nervous. All that means is universal. That's all it means. And this book is a universal epistle. It's not like those that are written to the Romans or Colossians or any of those things. This is a universal book that is just written to everybody. So let's see what we can get out of this. Practical Christianity. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19, and we'll conclude at verse number 27. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the word. All right. Y'all ready? Because we're about to go somewhere. We have to be, as James says, doers of the word. And he outlines in these verses some very critical things that are going to help us to be doers of the word. Hearing something is good. It's always good to hear. And that's why I say, how did you come here? What did you come here for? Now, there are different types of hearing. All right. Some folk, they are passive hearers. You know what passive hearing is? That means, you know, God has given you two ears. And guess what? You can't turn them off. You may go to sleep, but guess what? You can hear something. And what? You weren't listening for anything. You wanted to go to sleep. But there could be a noise, a sound of something that is going to cause you to do what? Wake up. All right. That's not active. That's passive. That's just because you can hear. Some folk cannot exist without some type of noise in their lives. There are folk that will go home and the silence of just being by themselves can be deafening and they have to turn on the television. Not watch it, but it's just on to do what? Just make some noise. See, that's passive hearing. But there are some other folk that are active hearers. Those are the people that tune out everything else. Those are the ones that will stay laser focused. Those are the ones that will take notes. Those are the ones that will ask themselves, what in the world am I about to get out of the word that's being spoken? Now, which group do you think James is talking to? Active hearers. Active hearers, not just those that hear and are not willing to do. Now, what is it that will cause us to be doers of the word? First of all, we need some folk who are going to be consistent in the searching of the word. That's what he says. Look at verse number 25. He says there, but whoso looketh where? Into the perfect law of liberty. Right? And continueth therein, he being not a what? A forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now, there were some sisters that were gathered today, gathered yesterday. They gathered themselves together. And I guarantee you, every one of those sisters looked in the mirror. At least I know the one I brought looked in the mirror. And she was doing some stuff in the mirror, and I'm like, well, why are you doing it? Well, I got to get it right. I gotta get it right. And I'm saying, well, when I bought you here, you were right. I don't know how much right. But, you know, that's my mindset. She just, there's some things she had to do. What? She just had to get right. And she could only get it right when she looked where? In the mirror. And when she left the mirror, she knew that, guess what? I'm all together. She didn't forget what she looked like. We as Christians have to be the same way. We've got to be consistent in searching the word if we are going to be effective at doing what the word says. Now, how are we going to do this? All right, I'm going to give you these things. The first thing we got to do, we got to learn how to study the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. A workman that needed not be ashamed. Rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Now, after we study the word of God, then we got to learn how to meditate on the word of God. Mm-hmm. How many of you in here have ever been warned by your parents when you were little, stop eating so fast? Y'all remember that? Yeah. You just sitting at the table shoveling food in your mouth. Slow down. But see, if you get older, you learn that, guess what? If I just learn how to savor that. Like some experts say, take a bite of food and what? Put the fork down. Chew real good. Savor the flavor. That's what meditation of the word is. I can study all I want, but if I don't find a portion of my day that I can just let the word marinate. Meditate on it. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm not thinking about how many scriptures I can memorize, but give me that one scripture that I can just wallow over in my mind, what, over and over again. The Bible says good things come when we meditate on the word. Blessed is the man. That's what he says, Psalm 1. That walketh not where? In the counsel of the ungodly. Now, nor does he what? Stand in the what? Way of sinners. Nor does he sit where? In the seat of the scornful. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord, and in his law does he what? Meditate day and night. Church, you need to understand that I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, all God made was a day and a night. So if I spend my days and my nights doing what? Just meditating on the word. Guess what he says? I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Am I right about it? Amen, somebody, that I'll bring forth my fruit in the season, my leaf shall not wither, and whatever I'm going to do, it's going to prosper if I just do what? If I'm just meditating on the word. I need to be consistent in my searching. I study the word. I meditate in the word. But then I've got to learn how to retain it. Uh-oh. And I knew I was going to get it. That's hard. Because I get that back home. Brother preacher, I can't memorize scripture like you do. Wait a minute, God didn't bless me with some power he didn't give somebody else. We can all retain something. You may not be able to retain what I retain, and you may not be able to quote it verbatim, word for word, as the King James, but do you have some semblance in your mind of what scripture is? Retaining it is very important because you're not always going to have a Bible with you, but you're always going to have your mind. The psalmist said, Psalms 119, he said, thy word have I done what? That I've hid where? Not in my notebook, not in my iPad, not in my phone, but I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Retaining it. And everybody in here is capable of retaining something. I challenge our students back home, because we still have our Christian school like you had Highland Academy. And I told them, I said, well, in order for you to move to the next level, and these are little ones, and they always telling you what they can't do. I said, now, you have to do a minimum of 60 paces to move to the next level. I said, in every one of those paces, it has a memory scripture. All right? So we up to what? 60 scriptures so far, right? That's 60. Then I give them a memory scripture that is a minimum of 10 every month. Right? So we have 10 months in the school year. I give them a minimum of what? 10 scriptures as their memory scripture. So that's 100. So you add 100 to 60 and you got what? 160 verses of Bible that they have in a school year. And they still tell me, Brother Walker, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, yes, you can. Because they stand in chapel every month and guess what? Get my money for memorizing their scripture. So I know you can do it. See, we retain what we want to retain. Yeah, folk talk about any and everything. What's going on in the sports world? What's going on in Hollywood and other places? What's going on your favorite TV show? You retain that, no problem. So how come we can't retain the Word of God, which is going to save our souls? Am I right about it? Yeah. See, the Bible warns us when we become double-minded. That we can't do what we're required to do by God to be good doers of the word. And the Hebrew writer says something very important. Church, always remember this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Huh? Huh? We ought to give the more earnest heed to what? To the things we have what? Heard. Lest at any time we should do what? And see, slipping is very dangerous because it's so subtle. Slipping, also known as drifting, takes place little by little. So when we're not consistently searching the word, I'm not studying the word, I'm not meditating on the word, then I cannot what? Retain the word. So when I find myself in the same place I was last year, then I have to ask myself, what happened? I wasn't consistently searching the Word of God. And the last thing we got to do when it comes to this idea of consistent in our search of the Word, application. You cannot continue to hear what the Word says and don't do what it says. He says you have to be a what? A doer of the word and not what? Hearers only. Y'all got that? We have to be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So this idea of being a doer of the word means that I am consistently searching the word of God. Now James moves on in verse number 26. He says in that verse, you need to be aware of your speech. Not only do we need to be consistent in searching the word, but we as Christians need to have controlled speech. Controlled speech. You know, some of the biggest troubles we have in the church is because of what somebody done said to us. Folk don't have to do too much to us, just say the wrong thing. Why is that? Why is that? We got to learn how to control our speech. If any of you seem to be religious, hello somebody, and doesn't control his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? Is in vain. James chapter 3, the entire chapter, he devotes to what? This little member that causes so much trouble with folk, the tongue. And we need to understand, church, that listen, if I'm going to be a doer of the word, then if I'm consistently searching, that means something is what? Controlling me. Folk who misuse their mouths are not doing what they're supposed to do in studying the word of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to work through his word to control our very being. We don't make moves that are going to be contrary to the word of God if the word of God is in us. So James says, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you don't know how to control your tongue, your religion is in vain. Jesus says it this way. He said, we are going to have to give an account for every idle word in the judgment. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36. Jesus goes on to say, he says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shall thy be condemned. Pretty simple to me. Just on the words that we say. Jesus said about those who claim to be all of that. He said, Isaiah prophesied of you folks. They draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Then he says, in vain they do worship me, teaching what? For doctrines the commandments of men. But then he says in verse number 11, he says, it is not which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which cometh out of a mouth. That's what's going to defile us. So we have to understand having controlled speech. Now, church, listen. We're trying to convert the whole world. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to convert the whole world. But you cannot convert a world if you don't know the right words to say. Not going to happen. And we got to be very careful of that fact. The Bible tells us that, guess what? We need to put off some things. Paul said to the church at Colossians, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. But then he says, filthy communication out of your mouth. In chapter 4, he says, let your speech always be seasoned with salt, that you may know how to do what? Answer every man. We have to be those who teach the world how they should communicate with each other. Now listen, the church is a great place to practice. I'm telling you. Let us learn on each other. Practice on each other how we're supposed to speak to one another. Then it will be easy for us to do what? Go out into the world and share the good news with somebody else. Am I right about it? Yes. But see, if you wearing your feelings on your sleeve, as some people say, and you just can't wait to give them that last piece of your mind. Listen, I was taught a long time ago, don't ever give your last to nobody. So if my last piece of mind, guess what? I'm going to keep that to myself. Am I right about it? Yeah. But see, there are some things that we make excuses for because we say, I'm only human. No, you're beyond human. Do you understand that? Yeah. See, my Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32 that he gives his spirit, God gives his spirit to those who obey him. That means I've stepped into another realm. I'm not just human. I'm trying to convert some folk that are human. But I'm not human. They may not see that, but I know that because guess what? Something has been done on the inside of me. And guess what? The words I used to say, guess what? I don't say anymore. That's right. Huh? Y'all remember Peter? Jesus told him, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times? And there's Peter. They done arrested Jesus. Boy, his whole world falling apart. Boy, oh boy. And there's Peter, boy, looking all dejected, warming himself by the fire. And all of a sudden, the little maiden comes up. Oh, you were with Christ. Peter said, oh, I don't know. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. No. Not me. I wasn't with him. That fella they arrested? No, I'm not going to. No. And then she said, yeah, you are, because you're what? Okay, church, is your speech betraying you? Is your speech telling on you that you are a follower of Jesus? Hello, somebody. I'm just asking. I'm not meddling. But I'm saying right now, if some folk had to come up to you to say, well, ooh, your speech, you must be a Christian. Just by the way you respond to things. Ooh, you heard them on the job when they talk about they was having them cut back all the words they were saying, and you were just as nice. Okay, let me leave that because y'all looking at me like, no, I appreciate it. Just like some folk tell me back home, I haven't grown to that. But let me tell you something. You better grow to that. If you want to be a doer of the word, you're going to have to be not only consistent in your searching, but you've got to have control. Speech. But then James moves on. Verse number 27. He says you got to have some concerned service. Concerned service. Because he says in verse number 27, what? Pure religion? Pure religion. Pure religion. Sometimes I like to just do word studies with folks. If James said pure religion, why did he have to follow that up with undefiled? Because pure means what? So that tells me that there's some emphasis here. If he said pure religion, then he says undefiled. Woo! This is some serious stuff. What are you about to say? Pure religion and undefiled before who? There's some emphasis here, folks. And the emphasis is on service. If you are going to be a doer of the word, you have to have concerned service. Well, what are you talking about, concerned service? Well, let me tell you what I'm not talking about, then we can get to what I am talking about. We find it very easy to help folk that can help themselves. That's easy. Because, see, helping somebody that can really help themselves mean I really didn't have to expend any energy. There's really no obligation when I help somebody that really can help themselves. Now, what it does, it makes me feel good. Because I can say what? Well, that's not the kind of help he's talking about. Because he lays it on the line. He says, undefiled before the Father is this to do what? Visit the who? Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. It is hard enough for me to deal with children who have a father. And now you telling me that I got to deal with children who don't have a daddy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now you causing me to look at everything. I'm looking at my watch. I'm looking at my calendar. I really don't know if I got time because, see, these people need my time. Notice what I said. These people need my time. But, see, if I'm a doer of the word, it's not my time, it's his time. And all I am is an agent, an ambassador for him. And he said, if I want my religion to be all that I say it's supposed to be, I've got to have some concerned service. That means I am willing to spend my time and my talent, all that is within me, to help some folk that can't do anything for me. And we don't like that. We like the tit for tat. You wash my back, I wash your back. Then I know that I'm going to get something in return eventually. But he mentioned some people that, guess what? You may not get anything from. But he said, these two distinct groups of people, I want you to do some study. Don't have time now. But these two groups of people that the Bible says a whole lot about folk helping them. Those two groups of people. Those who are fatherless, the orphans, and the widows. Now, we can remember in the Old Testament, he told folk that had a lot. Guess what? When you plant your crop, don't take everything. You got to leave some for the gleaners. Uh-huh. And my dear sisters, I know y'all read the book of Ruth. Huh? Y'all know about Ruth and Naomi, right? Am I right about it? Yeah. So we talk about some widows that got by because of Boaz. There were no social services back there. There were no orphanage. There were nowhere that somebody could go sign up for some widow benefits. They were only getting by when concerned people took care of them. First century church. One of the first problems they had, why we needed what we call deacons today, is because why? Widows were being what? The only place they had to go was to the church, and they find themselves what? Being neglected where? Lord have mercy. You got to have concern service. Taking care of folk that, guess what? That can't take care of you. We need to understand that there is no substitute for good work. No substitute for good work. You may not be able to quote from Genesis to Revelation, but if you are doing good work for the Lord, it's counted to your account. Whew. Yes, sir. Two of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, Hebrews 6:10 and Galatians 6:10, and they both talk about this service. Don't grow weary in what? Because in due time, right? If you don't what? And he says to the saint that God is not unrighteous to do what? Forget your what? Works and labor of love in which you do what? You minister and do minister. He's not going to forget it. Concern what? Service. Find someone that you know needs your help that can't help you if you really want your religion to be what you say it is. Now, I'm not saying you can't do for other folk, but he says now when it gets down to brass tacks, you need to find somebody to help that cannot do anything for you. And I want you to understand something. This doesn't mean just a one-time thing. This idea of visiting, that's constant. That's constant. That means you put this person on the schedule. See, I don't want. See, you can't say to me that you're going to visit me and only show up one time. You just made an appearance. You just wanted to make yourself look good. Am I right about it? Yeah, but that brother or sister that has been down for months and convalescing, they need to see a constant stream of their brothers and sisters. So that they don't feel like they're forgotten. That's what visitation is. Am I right about it? Amen. Yeah, yeah. You remember back in those old days when you spent too much time over your friend's house that they had to ask you, don't you have a home? Yeah, you ever had one of them places like that? I used to have some friends like that. You know, I was at their house more than I was at my house. And their parents looking at me, don't you have a home to go to? Because I was always what? Visiting. Concern service. And the last thing that I'm going to leave with you is that you have to have a clean soul. That's the latter part of verse number 27. Because he said what? Pure religion. Undefiled. Before the Father. Alright. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. But then it says to do what? Keep oneself unspotted from the world. You need to have a clean soul. You have to have a clean soul. We need to understand that God has done something with this world. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20 that he has made foolish the wisdom of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says to us that, guess what, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit of God. So that lets us understand that the world's wisdom should not be what? Our wisdom. We cannot have a clean soul if we're always running after what the world has. The world should have no allurement to us as Christians. As Brother Burton said, we understand that, guess what? The world is going to be burned up with what? Fervent heat. And Peter says, seeing that you know these things, do we? Do we really know them? Do we really know that the world is not my home, I'm just passing through? Do we really know these songs that we sing, I'm camping towards what? Canaan's land. Huh? We sing songs like that, right? Always talking about going to glory, going to glory. But we think we're going to go to glory through the world. No, we have been delivered from the world. The power that the world has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are no longer what? Hostage. We've been set free. But as Brother Brown said this morning, every time we get in a tight situation, we always want to run and go back to what is familiar to us. See, you can't take people out of Egyptian bondage. You can't just take them out of Egyptian bondage. You can take them out physically. But mentally, guess where they're still at? And every time they got into trouble, all they could reference, they couldn't reference a promised land. Hadn't been there before. That was just a promise. You promised that to my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't know nothing about that. But I do know, guess what? We fared better where? Sound kind of foolish, don't it? Even to say that. Huh? Aren't there graves in Egypt? There are graves everywhere. Something better about Egyptian graves? That's a mental problem. It's a mental problem. And see, some of us have a mental problem even in the church. Because we're here bodily, but we haven't made the transition mentally to understand that the world should have no effect, no power, and not any of our desires. Because we have to keep our what? Our souls clean. James says it this way, James chapter 3. He said, wisdom of the world. I like the way he says this. He said, it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. Anybody y'all want some of that? Huh? Don't even sound good to say it, does it? But that's all the world has to offer. And John says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because all that is in the world is what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and what? And guess where that didn't come from? It didn't come from the Father. So if we're going to keep our souls clean, guess where we better stay away from? And we need to do more applying. Applying what the word says. 2 Peter chapter 1, what do we find there? What do we find in 2 Peter chapter 1? Come on, talk back to me. See, if y'all talk back to me, then y'all won't be zoning out. See? Huh? What is in 2 Peter chapter 1? Don't look. Seven what? Seven graces, right? That's what we call them, right? Seven graces. And guess what Peter said? If you do these things, you shall never fall. If these things are added to your life, guess what? You should never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you do these things, that means I'm going to do everything to keep my soul clean. Then I can run over here to Galatians chapter 5 and I can talk about what? The fruit of the what? Fruit of the Spirit. But before he gets to the fruit of the Spirit, he names a whole laundry list of things that, guess what? We should have no part of those. And guess what? If yours wasn't listed, he had a catch-all in there and such. Am I right about it? And I don't know what your such like is, but it's in the number. He says, stay away from your such like. To keep your what? To keep your soul clean. Because we have to be doers of the word. We leave here to do what the word says. It is nice to come into the fellowship and we can sit down and understand what the scriptures say. But once we understand what they say, let's leave these sacred walls and do what it says. Now, just to wrap this up. Y'all with me? Just to wrap this up. One of these that I gave you, you have to do yourself. You got to do that inside. This is an inside job. The other three you do externally. Consistently searching the Word of God, that's on you. Well, Brother Brown. Brother Brown can't study for you. You know who Brother Brown studies for? Amen, somebody. Now, does he call a group of y'all over to plan his lessons? Does he plan his lesson by committee? Well, brothers, let's come on in the room. What y'all got? What you 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 got? That doesn't happen, right? He spends a lot of what? Alone time with him, the word, and God. He's not that special. He's special, but he's not that special. Because, see, the same God that he spends time with is the same God you can spend time with. And don't think because you don't preach or teach that you don't have an obligation to consistently search the scripture. I'm just telling you what I know. A lot of folk are crippled in the church because they're relying on the preacher to do the studying for them. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen at judgment. Preacher's going to be in that same line because they're going to have to give an account for themselves. Am I right about it? Amen. Amen. So you and I have to make up our minds. I'm going to be better at constantly what? Searching the word of God. That's my job. I can't delegate that to nobody else. And if you leave here, because I noticed this about folk, I don't know about you, but see, in up north, you can tell folk that don't take their Bibles in the house. Because see, sometimes they'll leave the Bible in the car, and you can see it because the bindings start to curl up. Because you know how it is when the car get hot. They don't left their Bible in the car. Now, they used it Sunday, yep, but guess what? It didn't go in the house with them. If by chance they come to midweek service, guess what? They'll take it out. And they'll bring it in then, but it's going to go back where? In the car. Now, I know back home, we have a lost and found. Do you have one up here, Brother Brown? You have a lost and found? Y'all don't have a lost and found in the church? Y'all good. Y'all so good. See, we have a lost and found in the church. Lost and found. And guess what? I can show you boxes of Bibles that folk left in the church and never came back to get it. But let a member leave their cell phone. Ooh, they will call the preacher. Preacher, I left my cell phone. I tell them I wish I had a key. Because I don't have a key to lost cell phones. I would roll out of the rack for your Bible, but I don't know about your cell phone. Huh? You see where our priority is? How is it that in the church we can have lost Bibles and nobody claims and don't have one cell phone? Nobody's ever said that guess what? That's not my cell phone. They'll claim that in a heartbeat. So we got to be more diligent in studying the word of God. But then we got to make sure that, church, whatever it is you do, don't allow your speech to convey anything else to anyone else other than you're a Christian. I don't care what happens in your life. You got to learn how to control your tongue. And again, it starts with us. Let us learn how to talk to one another. It's easy to talk to other folk. Matter of fact, the Bible says once you're converted, he says, lie not. Oh, y'all didn't read that? Y'all read Ephesians 4. It's in there. He tells you, first of all, to stop lying, and then he tells you to stop stealing. That's in the book. Am I right about it? That's what he tells you. Clean up your speech. Learn how to talk to folk. Because you're trying to portray who? Christ to somebody else. And you're going to do that. Like they say, you catch more flies with what? Ah, somebody know what I'm talking about. Then we got to make sure that we are lending ourselves to concerned service. There are folk out there that need your help. You may not be looking for them, but as the scripture says, as you have therefore opportunity. What does that mean? That doesn't mean it's going to happen by chance. It's going to happen because you're looking at situations with a spiritual eye and you're going to see opportunities to serve. And if you don't see an opportunity to serve, make one. I know that's going to put you out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to give up some of your TV time. But you need to understand God is interested in our service. And then whatever it is you have to do, make sure that you keep your soul clean. Don't have time to get into that, but that's a whole litany of things that we have to understand. That once we've been cleaned up, guess what? Let's not go back into the beggarly elements of the world. Once we've been cleaned up, Paul says, Peter says it this way, that you know what? It gets a little dicey for those who have turned back. He said, it's just like that old pig that you done cleaned up, but then they return back to what? But then he gets a little further, and that just kind of grosses me out. It's just like a dog has done what? I know I shouldn't say that after we done just ate. Kind of grosses you out. Am I right about it? But the bottom line, the Bible says to us as Christians that it will be worse for us now than it would have been. Because we have been enlightened. And if we turn our backs on him, he said it's going to be a sore punishment for us. So there is some incentive in keeping our souls clean. And if we ever want to see his face in peace one day, guess what we all going to have to do? Is go before him with a what? A clean soul. Am I right about it? Thank God for you. Had much more to say, but that's all y'all can take. I see it. So I just give you those four highlights right there. And I want you to be able to go with God. And whatever it is you do. But as we're here tonight and we have this glorious opportunity to refresh ourselves in the Word of God once again, it is also the opportunity that God has given to us to make sure that we're right. You remember the text said we have to look into the what? And he equated that perfect law as being like a what? Now, let me tell you something what mirrors don't do. Let me tell you what mirrors don't do. Y'all ready for this? Mirrors don't lie. What you see, what you get. Somebody was playing with me. They said, well, no, if you go to those mirrors in the amusement park, I said, well, I don't have no those kind of mirrors in my house. I want a mirror that reflects the image that's in front of it. Am I right about it? And that's what the Word of God does. It reflects the image that is right in front of it. Hello, somebody. That means I can't look at my neighbor and say that they're undone. Because guess what? They got their own mirror. Am I right about it? And their mirror is going to do a good job of reflecting. Now, if they're undone, guess what? But it could be that you spending so much time looking in their mirror that you're not looking in your mirror. Am I right about it? So I'm going to tell everybody in here this afternoon, look in your own mirror and see if you're right with God. And if you're not right with God, get it right. Because there's no time like now. Y'all ever heard that before? There is no time like the present. Huh? So if you got your business with God that you see is in an undone condition, whatever term you want to put up, if you're in sports, you're out of bounds. Y'all know what that means, right? You committed a foul. What do they do when you're out of bounds and you commit a foul? Stops the play. They say that's a what? A penalty. Well, you have a chance now to get your penalty taken away. I would have loved that when I was playing basketball. Yeah, if I could just say I'm sorry. You know, like those fellas do on the court, they hold their hand up. Well, if I hold my hand up and admit to it, don't give me the foul. But see, the Lord says that if you just hold your hand up and say what? I'm sorry. He says what? It's like it's no foul. Am I right about it? Yes, amen. So if you remember the Lord's church and you need to tell the God of heaven that I'm sorry for what I've done. I've sinned against you, but now I've repented of that sin. I'm coming back home. This is your opportunity. But there may be one in the audience that has not had the ability, the opportunity to understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something. There's no better relationship that I've ever had in my entire life than the relationship that I have with Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. My wife can't even get in between that relationship. Yeah, me and the Lord, we got something going on. Am I right about it? Amen. Because he thought so much of me. Y'all have to understand something. There was a time I didn't think much of myself. But the Lord thought so much of me that he sent his son to die and to save me from a devil's hell. Woo! You don't understand how that made me feel. I said, I must be somebody. Amen. I must be somebody. But there may be somebody in this audience that you're struggling with who you are, haven't identified yourself really. And let me tell you something. You will never know the real you until you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, he'll show you some things about yourself, how to pick yourself up, dust yourself off. I'm telling you, poke your chest out. Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord said that he heard my cry when I was in the bottom of that pit. Am I right about it? But he answered the cry. He brought me out of the pit. He set my feet on solid ground. And not only that, he put a new song in my heart. So I'm feeling good, pretty good right now. Because if he can take me out of the pit, he can take somebody else out of the pit. If he can clean me up, he can clean you up too. But it all stems on your willingness to obey him and his son's gospel. So come this evening, if you are needy of salvation, understanding who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the one who brought salvation, made it possible when he hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Be willing to look at your life and understanding, I believe in who Jesus is. I have faith that he is my Savior, the Savior of the whole world. But now you have to look at yourself. And what did he say? Your undone condition places you outside of the ark of safety. He said, all you need to do is repent. Got to repent of those things. The things that you thought you were doing right, stop doing those. Don't slow down. Stop. Turn from your wicked ways and follow Christ the rest of your days. Confess him as being Lord. Confess him as being the Son of the living God. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And the Lord said this, I will add you to my church. I love that. Not just any church, but my church. Which church is that? The one he promised to build. The one that he purchased with his blood, Acts 20 and 28. Am I right about it? And the one that he's coming back for, according to 1 Corinthians 15. That's his church. The only one that you can find in your Bible. So this afternoon, if you're here, you need rededication, you need salvation, or you stand in need of prayer, this opportunity is given to you as we together stand and we sing.